And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lashley, and a very pleasant greeting once again to all the listeners of radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Willie Murphy. We certainly have enjoyed hearing from those who listen to the broadcast, and we deeply appreciate the ones who are helping to make this broadcast possible. May the Lord continue to reward and bless each one richly. The Bible is full of helpful and profitable scriptures and promises. There are many things we could talk about. But for the next few moments, I have chosen to speak to you about a subject which is of importance to your welfare in the eternal world to come. Listen to this scripture in St. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? On our last broadcast, I spoke to some extent about the righteous and the wicked who possess an eternal soul which lives on after death. Now today, we would like to look a little further and consider what becomes of the soul when it leaves the earthly house of this tabernacle. In our scripture verse, we notice that Jesus possesses the power of life and death with the promise that those who believe in him shall never die. So, even though the earthly body shall return to dust, the eternal part of man or the soul lives on and on. Now, in order for us to be prepared to inherit the glory which God has reserved for the righteous, we must first partake of the spiritual resurrection from a dead state of sin to be made alive with Christ in God. Now, this takes place when we are made alive on the earth, right here in our earthly bodies, or in other words, when we are born again. Listen to this verse in Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This means that we have been resurrected spiritually from a sinful life to live the remainder of our days alive unto God. Those who do not share this first resurrection are indeed unprepared to inherit the glories of God after death, but the judgments of God are hanging over their condemned souls. Now, let us take another look into the conditions which existed after death for both Lazarus and the rich man. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22 it says, And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in verse 23 it says, And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So first we notice that the soul of Lazarus, who had lived righteously, and the soul of the wicked, who had failed to serve God, were separated. They did not go to the same place. The one was in a place of tranquility and peace and contentment. The other was in a place of torment. He realized his failure to call for mercy while he yet lived. We also notice from the verses which follow in this chapter that each of these souls had reached a point of no return. They could not return to the world which they had left behind and live again their lives in a different manner. Neither were they able to return to offer advice to those who remained in this world. When the rich man realized that Lazarus could not be sent across the great gulf which divided them, he was very anxious that Abraham send Lazarus back to the world to warn his brothers not to follow in his footsteps and come to the place where he at last had found himself. Now, no doubt there are some people who think that should one rise from the dead, they would certainly believe what they had to say. But listen to this final word of Abraham to the rich man in verse 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But I'd like to point out that this is not the final and complete inheritance of the righteous. Neither will the souls of the wicked remain in this disembodied state. But we read in St. John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29 that Jesus made this statement, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now this marvelous resurrection from the dead, both for the righteous and the wicked, shall take place at the second coming of Christ. Please notice the wording of this statement in verse 28. It says here, "For the hour is coming." By this we understand that the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked will take place in the same hour. Now let me explain a little further the things which will happen at that moment. These disembodied souls, our spirits, will be reunited with their bodies to come forth from the grave on this resurrection day. Listen to this reading from Daniel chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Listen now to these verses in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man." "Death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But notice this reading from Matthew chapter 25 and beginning at verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." And then in verse 46 we read where the last and final separation takes place. Think of it, friends, what a solemn day that will be. "Now these words from the lips of the Master himself, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Let me ask those who are hearing this broadcast tonight, are you ready for that day to come? Are you living in such a way that you're willing for God to reveal the secrets of your heart as he will on that great and final day? If not, I hope that tonight will be the turning point in your life, and that you will at this moment give your heart to God without reservations and dedicate your life afresh to serve him the remainder of your days. Now, let us spend a moment in prayer. Our gracious Father, take the words of the message today and use them to thy glory. And may they find their way into the heart of that one who is lonely and desolate and void of your grace. And may they bring peace and comfort and the knowledge that God has forgiven their sins. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Listen now as Patsy gives you this poem.
The Last Hymn. Shall my soul ascend with rapture when the day of life is past? While my house of clay shall slumber, shall I then with Jesus rest? Or shall my immortal spirit, holden now by earthly ties, have at last unbounded freedom in those realms beyond the skies? Shall mine eyes indeed see Jesus, he the humble man of God, who laid down his life a ransom, he who saves me by his blood? Shall mine ears hear strains of music from the glad and ransomed throng? Shall I join with them in praises, with him sing the glad new song? Shall my soul arise in triumph when the angel calls for me? Gladly go with him to glory, there to dwell eternally.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by,
yes, friends, that will surely be worth it all.
The promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy, you may have one free of charge by simply sending us your request. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy wishing you each and every one the very richest blessings of God and a very pleasant good night.
What a day, glorious day that will be.